the real presence of God. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word does not return void. You will accomplish that which you sent it forth to do. Lord, I thank you that God, if there's, Lord, in this house, God, whatever you desire that I speak, God, that those words are going to minister to the very core of your people. God, if they're listening online, I pray that Holy Spirit, they'd hear your voice in your word. Because, Lord, you said that your voice is in the power of your word. I thank you, God, that you gave us an example. Lord, your word is an example. The people, the disciples, Lord, an example of how we are to walk and live. And God, there's just so many lessons in there. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, there's such an anointing. I just want to say before I start is, on Friday, God really spoke to my heart and has really put us, oh, I'm going to need some Kleenex. I remember somebody saying, Mary, you're like a Jeremiah. He was known as the weeping prophet. Anyways, he's really put it on my heart that it's time for family. Family's really going to, God is doing an incredible work in family. And we have good news for them, and it's the gospel. But he is wooing them. He's doing a work, and it's time. It's just time. So I thought what we could do in this house is if you have family members, I want you to either put on a piece of paper their picture or write down their names if you don't have pictures. And just on one piece of paper, I don't want 10 papers. I want one piece of paper, who you consider your family. And we're going to put it in a box. And we are going to pray over family members every Friday morning when we meet for prayer. Our prayer group is going to pray because we're going to start seeing family members come in. This is it. God's doing it. He's doing it now. Like there's no turning back. He's bringing in the harvest. It's harvest time. And he has seen your tears for your family. And you think he's going to go save those out there and forget your family? He says, no way. God is a man that loves family, and he knows our heart for family. And so he says, it's time. They're coming in. So if you would just do that, you could, you know, hand it to Maxine or myself or Teresa. And we're going to put it together, and we'll be praying over your loved ones. And actually, it's confirmed. I mean, just this message was confirmed because, you know, both Daniel and Allie texted me this morning. She goes, Mary, thank you so much for that video. I'm in tears this morning. Just something I sent. And Kaylee phoned me this morning, and she's in tears, and I had a word for her. So I just think, Lord, you're confirming it over and over that it's family time. Just like it's summertime, it's fall time, it's family time. Yeah. So anyways, this message, it's so dear to my heart. Like, I just loved it. I cried. I laughed. I was in awe. I did so many things over this message. Jesus knows the best and the worst things about us. He knows the best and he knows the worst. The Lord has a way of revealing things in our lives that have to be addressed. He just has his way, right? There's some things that have to be addressed. And oftentimes, it's the right situation that will bring it out. Sometimes we don't like going through what we go through, but it's the right situation that God says, like sometimes it's under pressure that God will bring out what needs to be dealt with. And it's something that he wants us to face, to fix, to maybe adjust in our walk, because we're supposed to be Christ-like. And he will allow the enemy to bring it out. He will allow the enemy to bring it out. But the enemy can't overrule God. God's still in control, okay? But he will allow the enemy. He says, okay, you go ahead, because this thing has to come out. I was talking to my son Daniel, and he made a statement, and this message was birthed out of that statement, because I could not get it off my heart. And he said, a weak moment. And I thought, a weak moment. I thought, how many times do we have weak moments? And we do things, we say things that we think, oh my God, where'd that come from? Or how did I get here? And I couldn't get that off my heart. A weak moment, a weak moment, in a weak moment, in a moment of weakness, what's going to come out, you know? But the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I've heard this before. It says, but I never really got it, but I get it now, that grace is a person, and his name is Jesus. He's a picture of grace. He's a picture of grace. So all of us need grace, whether we're sitting in the church or believers outside the church. We all need grace. We're no different. We are no different. I believe that backsliders are on their way home. So either, you know, we can be backslidden sitting in churches, or we could be backslidden outside of a church. But God says, I'm going to go get them. Watch me go get them. They're coming home. So this message could be just the very thing you need to show them. Okay, so now as I kept thinking about this phrase, a weak moment, the disciple, Peter, came to mind. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to meet Peter. I just think, Lord, you know, I just seen myself in Peter. And as a matter of fact, I think that we all have a bit of Peter on the inside of us. I don't care who we are, you know. We all have a Peter on the inside of us. In Ecclesiastes, it says, 7 verse 8, it says, the end of the matter is better than the beginning. And that truly was Peter's life. His ending was better than his beginning. Peter, his original name is Simon, and Jesus changed it to Peter, meaning rock or Petra. Peter was married. He was a fisherman. He was bold. He was rough. He was outspoken. He was hasty. At the time, he told Jesus, yeah, I'm going to go to prison with you, and I think I'm even going to die with you, Jesus. How many times have we said things, promises to God, and we never followed through? He was irritable and capable of great anger, that when they came to arrest Jesus, he cut the ear off, the right ear of the servant. He just cut it right off. Like, talk about boldness and anger, you know. But Peter loved Jesus. He was loyal, and I believe Peter was tender on the inside. In fact, I believe that Peter, I know it says Moses saw Jesus face to face. Peter saw Jesus face to face. There came a time in Peter's life that he saw Jesus face to face, but it wasn't in the what it wasn't his who he portrayed himself to be. It was who he really was. That type of face to face. Yeah, that's me, God. That's part of me, Lord. You know, so 1 Samuel says 16:7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So we're going to see some of these things about Peter. Okay, Luke 5:1-11. Is this thing too loud? This is Peter's salvation. Actually, I discovered yesterday that Jesus had been wooing Peter because in The Chosen, Peter's mother-in-law was healed after Jesus came to him. But in the Word, Peter's mother-in-law was healed before Jesus knew him. Yeah, and I'm thinking, Jesus met Peter's mother-in-law and healed. So he was hearing things about Jesus before this time in the boat. In fact, if you look, it's just I think it's just a couple of chapters before. Anyways, Peter's mother-in-law was healed before this boat incident. So, and that's just like the Lord. He will woo you. He'll let you hear things and he'll woo you before you come to the place of salvation, right? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. So Luke 5:1-11, it says, "One day as Jesus was standing at the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats that belonged to Simon and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee and Simon's partner. But Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people.' So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything and followed him." Like, what a conversion. He recognized Jesus' authority, his greatness. And remember, John the Baptist was preaching and Andrew had spoken about him as well, you know, and so he was hearing and he heard about Jesus and, you know, and this miracle made him like in awe. And he fell to his knees and he said, "I'm going to follow you." And he left everything, left his boat. He left everything. Talk about zeal for the Lord. Peter had a zeal for the Lord. So what the Lord said to me in a moment of weakness, what he showed me right away, he said, Mary, he said, Peter had a heart after me. And that is what kept Peter. Just having a heart after God kept Peter in the refining process. God says, I need your heart. If I have your heart, I can bring you through some refining. Because he can work with us. We can be bendable. So Jesus is saying this morning, he wants your heart and your willingness to be refined. Matthew 16:14-23. This is how Jesus describes Peter. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed, that's how God described Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heavens, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Peter had a direct voice from God saying, this is my son, Peter. Like that was a revelation right from the heart of God to Peter. And he was the first disciples to recognize it and speak it out. He is the Messiah. But let's just keep reading. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of his elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So at one moment, Peter is getting this incredible revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And the next moment, Jesus is rebuking him. Like, to me, I laughed at that. I just thought, Lord, that's incredible. That for one moment, you know. So at that moment, I started to laugh and I said, what is man that you are so mindful of us, Lord? Because we're like that. You know, I think of Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh so he wouldn't get prideful because of the revelations he received. And sometimes, you know, we as Christians, like I'm getting into some reality stuff here because I think sometimes we think we're so spiritual that I think no wonder nobody, you know, we can't touch people, you know. So to me, you know, like I think here he is, he gets this incredible revelation and then he walks in such carnality thinking, no, like no God and thinking that he knows. And how I said, Lord, how did he rebuke the Son of God? You know. How can he say that? No way, Lord, you're not going to. But see, Peter just had it in his mind. This is the way it's supposed to go. And how many times do we have it in our mind? This is the way it's supposed to go. And God say, no. Anyways, let's turn to Matthew 17:1-7. So this is about Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration. Hmm? After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, the brother of James, and led him up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before him. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this voice, they fell face down to the ground. So here he is, you know, another opportunity that Peter just blurts it out. The next thing you know, he's flat on his face. Like, I just love Peter. I just got to run. Anyways, and then Jesus came and touched him and said, "Get up, don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. But also what the Lord showed me in that was that Peter, and a little bit later, you know, he said, "Peter, I want you to go get a coin out of a fish's mouth." And there's a lot of things about Peter, but I'm just picking out a few. And so Peter got to go and get this coin out of the fish, you know. And what God showed me is like, man, you know, the privileges that we have. There's some stuff that I've experienced just being a follower of Christ that other people don't get to experience. And we have had some incredible times with the Lord. Other people don't. And that itself can go to our heads. It really can. And so I started to cry and I just started to thank God. I thought, "Lord, thank you. Thanks. We sang this morning, thanks a million." Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the things that, places that I got, like getting, you know, like, I mean, Peter got a fish out of it, but I mean, I've been in places and been in anointings and, you know, gotten close to people that a lot of people didn't get to do. Just being a part of this church. You know, I remember I've gone to churches where there is no presence of God. And I thought, "Lord, they don't even know you're here." But anyways, rebuke, learn, and blessings. That's what I got out of that whole portion. Lord, you can rebuke, teach us some lessons, and then we have some blessings. But now we're going to fast forward to Luke 22, 31 to 34. Are you guys doing okay? Okay. Luke 22, 31 to 34. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples and anticipating the cross that was ahead of him. And he was telling Peter, like, "Peter, you know what? Satan has asked permission." And remember, that's what I said. Satan doesn't have permission over our lives unless God allows it. But Satan has asked permission to mess you up. That's basically what he was saying. So let's just read it. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift not just Peter, it says all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times that you know me." And so, here, you know, I see that the Lord, what he was doing, like he was actually saying, like, Peter, I prayed for you, and it's good to remember that when we go through some sifting, that God is interceding on our behalf. And he also says, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned, so he was actually prophesying over Peter saying, you are going to make it. I know it's going to be a tough one, but you're going to make it. Another one? I got three. I this scripture actually leapt out of my heart not a few weeks ago, but I right away, sometimes when God just really puts a scripture like that before me, I have it on my iPad right now. It's the first thing I see. And it says this, and it's out of the Amplified. It says Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. Trust in and rely confidently in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all of your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. And so I love that last part. It says, removing obstacles that block your way. And I'm thinking, God, what obstacles are blocking my way? Because he said, greater things would I do than he, you know, that's some of the promises that he's made to us. So what obstacles are blocking our way? Is it pride? Is it fear? Is it lust? Is it greed? What? You know, is it covetousness? Like, there's obstacles that God's saying, if you just trust me, and if you just trust my refining, that I'm going to remove the obstacles because I want to see some growth on the inside of you. And he's in the Holy Spirit is in the process of removing obstacles on the inside of us. So Jesus prophesies Peter's defeat and victory, but he says, Peter, you're going to make it. And I was thinking that, yeah, when we go through the valley, I'm right there with you in it. And then he also says, and Peter, when you're through, help somebody else. Peter, I need you to make it through. That's what he's saying. Peter, I need you to make it through. And we do not go through what we go through for ourselves. We just don't. That's not what God does. He's allowing you to go through some things so that you could turn around and help somebody else. We sang it this morning, a hand extended. And sometimes, you know, I thought, Lord, you know, like the reason that I could say this is because I can still relate to Peter, you know. So sometimes, you know, we look at preachers and think, oh, they're so good, but it's only because they've been through it. You know, so don't ever put anybody on a pedestal. So his cocky confidence statement that says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death. That statement, Satan knew the pride that was there. And he thought he could do it on his own. And he didn't think that he needed Jesus. I just know what I've got on the inside of me. And the 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest in me. I can do nothing without him. So Peter, actually Jesus knew it. It says Satan knows, you know, the things that are on the inside. Peter had some pride. He was thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. And he thought that he could do this on his own. So let's go to Luke 22, 54, 6. This is now they've got Jesus here. It says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And in some translations, I know it says that he was actually cussing. Like he was so angry that they would even, he was so scared is what he was. He was so scared that they were going to take his life. But all of a sudden that rooster crowed. Where is it? Then the Lord turned, oh yeah, this is incredible. And then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. And I think he wept bitterly because he was for the failure and his own resolve, like thinking that, you know, I could do this, I could find an answer, you know, what you said about the cross, it's not going to happen, and Jesus, I didn't think that I'd have to die for you right away. I thought maybe when I'm 60 or 70, you know, so, I mean, do you know what I mean? like, did it have to come so quickly? You know, so I've got a lot of life here, you know. So anyways, he was scared. Apostasy, that word apostasy, is public denial of Jesus Christ. And that is what Peter had done. He had publicly denied him right there in the public. And now this is where the enemy will come in big time in our lives. Because, I mean, we know the things we speak. We know where we're at with the Lord. And this is where the enemy comes in big times. And, you know, he'll say things like, you've messed up. You've so messed up. Like, look at you. You know, or you're worthless. Like, you're worthless. Or how could you have done that? Or there's no turning back. This is where the enemy will condemn us, and this is where we need to grab the horns of the altar and say, no, Jesus loves me. And that, to me, is like that being established, that unconditional love of God. So here was a man, Peter, 3 years, he walked with Jesus, he lived with Jesus, and the miracles that he saw blinded eyes opened, lepers cleansed and cured. He'd seen Jesus calm the storm. He walked on water. 5,000 plus were fed. Like he's seen all these miracles. Like he's seen it all, you know, and he received revelation. He was a privileged disciple. He was privileged. He was one of the ones God always brought alongside him, you know. But he denied Christ, but not just once or twice, but three times publicly. So now we're going to go, though. It doesn't quit. It doesn't end there. I can't imagine what the dark night that he went through. Because he loved God. But it was a dark night that he was walking into, man, and I'm sure the enemy pounded him to the ground. Like God chose him. But I'm sure he cried out, God, restore me. Transform me. That's what God wants, is transformation. He doesn't want just us to come to church all the time. He needs us to get into that intimate place so that we can see Him face to face and that He can truly transform us. Because how we came to know the Lord ought not to be how we end up knowing the Lord. It shouldn't be like that. And I believe that's what we have not seen in the church, is transformation. You know, we come in the same, we go out the same, we come in the same, we go out the same, but only you can give God your heart to transform. That it's up to us to give Him our hearts. Lord, transform me. Make me a new person. I want to do what You called me to do. But, okay, so now we're going to go to John 21. So this was Jesus. He was on a beach, he was my man. He's on the beach. Love the beach. He knows where to meet Mary. He does meet me on the beach. But anyways, early in the morning, Jesus stood alone. This is verse 4, on the shore. But the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. Then He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because there was such a large number of fish. So here we did this again. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. So I think that at this point, life was starting to come back into Peter. He'd gone through it. He's going to get out of the valley here real quick. So they had breakfast together. And actually, Peter had just gone back fishing. It's like, I can't do anything else. I might as well just go fishing. How many people that we know in the body of Christ that are just out fishing? How many are just out fishing because they think they've messed up? They don't belong here. God doesn't have a purpose for them. But God. I'm so mindful of the backsliders when I see this. Like, this is what we need to tell them, is this whole story. So verse 15, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon," now he had changed his name to Peter, but here he was Simon again. I don't know why, but he was Simon, we need to talk. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Remember I said he came to Jesus face to face? This is the face to face right here. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. For verily I tell you that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." So here is it's the unfailing love of God and how He brings us through. It is not in God's nature to abandon us. That's when the enemy, when we go through it, the enemy will lie. And we think that God has abandoned us, but it's not in his nature to abandon us. He wants to clean us up. Because he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He wants, like he says, be holy as I am holy. So we need to be, like when Peter first came to Jesus, he was a sinful man. So somewhere along the line, the cleaning up had to come, you know? So Peter, here he's actually calling Peter back in. He's saying like, Peter, you know what? I still need you. Peter, I need you and I got a purpose and I got a plan. So the first Simon, do you love me? Is the word agape, which is a Greek word. And so Jesus is asking Simon, do you love me? Or Simon, do you have God's love, sacrificial love? And Simon, like when you said you're going to die with me and go to prison, Peter said, no. he's honest, like, no. I love you, but it's when he said to Jesus, he answered him and responded with this love that was called the phileo love. And that's more like a brotherly love. It's a friendship love, but it's not a sacrificial love. It's like, yeah, I'm going to love you, but I'm just going to be your friend. Because I tried to do the other thing and I flunked big time. So I'm not going to do that again. Okay, so then he asked him again, like, Peter, do you love me? And again, Jesus was asking him a second time. And this time, remember, he denied him three times, and the Lord is doing this three times to him. Peter, do you love me? With that God kind of sacrificial love. And Peter answered, absolutely not. I love you, Lord. But it's with, again, he used phileo love. Because I know I can't do it. So he was being real with who really he was. So then, the third time, Jesus said to him, okay, Peter, do you phileo love me? Basically, do you love me like a friend? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I will love you like a friend. So Jesus actually got down to Peter's level and said, I'm going to take you from this level and I'm going to bring you up to my level of love. That's what God actually did for Peter, is he actually processed him. Because it says that Peter, it is believed that Peter died in Rome at the reign of Emperor Nero as a martyr for his faith. He was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die the same manner as Jesus Christ. But agape love was established in him. Because he actually laid down his life for Jesus Christ. He couldn't do it, so he was weak. In his weak moment, he denied the Lord. But in his greatest moment, that gave the Father glory. Because Jesus said, it says that you are going to, Jesus said, to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So Peter's death glorified God. And the death that when we go through the process that God's processing us, is going to glorify God. It's going to glorify God. Peter was a rock, but Jesus Christ was the cornerstone. And so what Jesus had to do was actually take Peter, because Peter could not, God called Peter back into the ministry. Like he said, feed my sheep. He's actually giving him something to do. Feed my sheep. But Peter, you weren't ready to feed my sheep back there. You had your own way of thinking back there. I needed you to come up here so that you can have my way of thinking. Because now I'm going to put you in the ministry that I've called you to do, but you got to think my way. Because you are a rock, Peter, but I'm the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And there are times we want to fit into the cornerstone, but we're not fitting into the cornerstone how he's wanting us to fit in. God's saying, I need to adjust and I need to fix some things so you fit into my plan. And that's for all of us. No one's exempt. No one's exempt. We can't do it our way. We've got to do it his way. Because if we try to fit it, I mean, I don't know, Jim, you're a builder, but if that cornerstone, I mean, if we try to build outside of the cornerstone, that it's not going to stand, is it? Yeah, it's not going to stand. The building's not going to stand. And Jesus said, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that what remains is going to be solid, it's going to be strong. But I do want to, where's my phone? I want to read this because it just brings it so much better in the Amplified. The whole, it just really explains it. It says, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do? Remember, he said that if no one else follows you, I'm going to follow you. Do you love me more than these others do? With total commitment and devotion. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. See the difference between the two? One was devoted and one was just an affection. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Again, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? With total commitment and devotion. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. So he's still like, you're doing good, Peter. You're really realizing who you are on the inside. That's what God wanted him to do. Simon, do you love me with a deep personal affection? Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep personal affection for me as a close friend? This was the third time. Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, do you really love me with a deep personal affection as for a close friend? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So that, you know, to me, that is the restoration and the transformation of Peter, because now Peter was a leader after God's own heart. And he got the pride out of him. You know, he didn't think of himself more highly than he ought to think of himself. He was a humble man. So that's just a little bit of Peter that God was showing me. But, I just know that, we have to come to the place where we have to say, Lord, our life is not our own. It doesn't belong to us. It was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And so I thank God. I mean, at the time when we go through it, we don't feel good. But I thank God. I wouldn't have chosen the processes that God has chosen to bring me through. I wouldn't trade it. I thank God for them. John 12:25 says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So I think, Lord, I don't really feel... Oh, Maxine, you can go to the piano if you want. I know you like to write. You need a secretary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. such a backslider. Someone that maybe out there that once was in the house of God. But in this house, you know, I think that you might be at a place where, you know, you're enjoying the privileges, but you know in your heart that you haven't given your all, that God might be asking you to give up some stuff or change in these areas. And maybe, you know, there might be some that deny the Lord and they've gone back fishing. It's easier back here. It's easier over here. I'm more comfortable in my own place. I'm doing my own thing. But tonight, today, I know the Lord is just saying, will you love me? And if you just love me, I'll take you to those places where you think you can't go. And that's our Savior. He'll just start where you're at, and He'll bring you higher, bring you closer, draw you nearer, until you fulfill. So I thought about an altar call, but I thought, you know, Lord, this is kind of personal. Because we all know that we are all at different places. You could be just saved, you know. You could be just enjoying the presence of God and He hasn't really spoken to you. Or you could be really wrestling with some place that God's saying, I want you to lay down in this area. So if you want prayer, or if you want to just come and kneel at the altar, if you want prayer, I'll be here. We can pray for you. But just know that God loves you. And He has a plan and He has a purpose for each one in here. And He will do the process. He just wants your heart. He just wants us to be willing.